Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It is hour two. We are live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Did you see the holiday present I got from the WWE? Massive.
I will say, amongst this ridiculous year, there have been some things, some blessings that we've got. Like, for example, Colin on Instagram is a great addition.
Why is that?
I just think you're great on Instagram.
Well, I am raw. I am usually relaxed.
Yes, it's a very different side of you. Because people always ask me how you are. They think you're very serious.
People do?
Yes.
All right, whatever.
I mean, you take what you do serious.
Yeah, I'm not, but
as you should.
I'm joking.
But yeah, I mean, you have a good time. That's why I think the Instagram is great.
All right. So I do every couple nights, not too much, every couple nights. But my recent one, I got a big gift from WWE.
It's very nice.
It's like a massive gift.
It's a giant WWE ring.
I think.
That's cool.
Diamonds and gold. Greg Cosell in a couple minutes. This is interesting. The Chiefs will not play Patrick Mahomes this week. I would play him. Andy Reid's smarter than me, but I'd play him. Three of the last four quarterbacks who got a bye and didn't play week 17 have lost. And they're all great. Big Ben to the Jags, MVP Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, 15-1, earned a bye, didn't play week 17, lost. The only winner was Drew Brees 2 years ago, and his first pass in the playoff game was picked. He was rusty. Just something to think about. And by the way, that means his last game playing, Patrick, he did not play well against Atlanta. He was 24 of 48 or 44. He had an 80 passer rating. And four times in December, his four straight games of passer rating under 100. So he's not playing well. So he's going to go from December 27th to January 17th. And he wasn't sharp on December 27th. It's something. Belichick didn't like to give Brady or anybody a bye. So it's very reminiscent of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, like Mahomes, had an MVP in a Super Bowl, went 15-1, and they gave him the final week off. He came out against the Giants, and the whole team was awful. And unlike Mahomes, Aaron's last game he did play in week 16, he was unbelievable. I think you could look it up. He had four or five touchdown passes. So I don't think Mahomes is playing particularly well. Of their defensive issues in the red zone, it's something to think about. Belichick never liked to give people a time off. Tony Dungy did. So there's two ways to do it, but it's interesting. With that, Greg Cosell, love him on Thursdays, every Thursday at this time. 41 years NFL Films is joining us. You know, it's funny. It's funny about that, Greg. Some coaches give guys off, some don't. We'll get to Mahomes in a second, but I want to start with this, is that one of the reasons baseball, I was a big baseball fan as a kid.
Me too.
It's very numbers oriented. And one of the things I like about football, there's less numbers. It's more about winning and performance. And I just like that. It's a fight every Sunday. Whoever wins, you move on. They're the champ. And I look at Lamar Jackson and I know there's issues, but I've seen him in second halves against the Colts defense, and I've seen him in these games have a lot of touch. He's not a beautiful thrower, but I look at that team, Greg, and I don't think their quarterback is what worries me. There are times there's things I worry about, but you watch every film. Is he advancing? Are they dangerous? What do you make of Baltimore going into the playoffs if they get there?
Well, they're dangerous for sure. Their run game is really difficult to defend. They've actually expanded their run game concepts this year. Their pass game clearly works off their run game. It's not the foundation of what they do. But one area in which they're so good, Colin, is the red zone. And when you score touchdowns in the red zone, you know, I was researching for a piece I did for my matchup show this week on Lamar in the red zone. The last two seasons, he has 44 touchdown passes and no interceptions in the red zone.
Wow.
And they are really, really good with pass game concepts in the red zone. That's where Greg Roman and James Urban do such a good job. Their pass game concepts are phenomenal. They threw a touchdown this week to Dez Bryant, in which everybody probably thought it was a bust because Bryant was open in the tight red zone. It was not a bust. And if you break the play down, which I did, it's not a bust at all. They're just so good attacking and breaking down zone coverage concepts in the red zone.
Yeah, that's a gem stat, because I look at them and I wouldn't want to face them. And all I know is in these big third downs, they're a very good third down team. They're a very good red zone team. And Greg, as you know, the playoffs, you win if you get touchdowns, you lose if you get field goals, and they get touchdowns. So I want to go to Tua. So he's been benched twice. You can fool me, but you can't fool guys in the locker room. If he goes to Buffalo and gets benched a third time, you know, you can try to convince him he's a home run. But what does the tape say about Tua? Because I do believe yards per game passing, he doesn't feel dynamic. He doesn't feel special. What does the tape say?
No, and I think that what the tape shows, and that's all we're talking about. We're talking about what the tape shows here. What the tape shows right now is a quarterback that's struggling to see things clearly. So what happens is they're defining route concepts for him, and the throws are there, Colin, and he's not making those throws. And to me, that's the reason he's getting benched. Not because you might miss one here or there, or because you get sacked, because the Raiders actually did a very good job with a lot of their rush concepts. But the point is they're designing concepts, and he's not turning it loose to the receiver that should be getting the football. So right now he's just not seeing things clearly. And the other thing to keep in mind, their offense with him is pretty condensed. And I know a lot of people are probably saying, oh, well, he threw the deep ball at Alabama. Well, they're with him every day with that coaching staff. So if they run a condensed offense and with fairly basic route concepts with him, then they believe that's what he can do at this point.
Yeah.
And they're not going to ask him in their mind to do things that they don't think he can do.
Yeah, I think it's well said. So I said, even though with Fox Bet, it's Rodgers, Mahomes, and a distant third Josh Allen MVP, he's a fascinating kid. He didn't get recruited out of high school. He goes to Wyoming. He was, well, you and I talked about this before he got drafted. He was a wild pony. He was all over the map. His first year in the NFL, his first 20 games in the NFL, he just wasn't accurate. I watch him this year, and I tell you what, he is a handful. He reminds me so much of a young Big Ben. He can run. He's huge. He's got the arm. Are you a little shocked at the jump from even mid-last year to this year?
Well, what is really fascinating is the increase in precise ball placement.
Yes.
Because, you know, we know what he is in just in terms of a physical talent, but he is now making throws that require pace, touch. I mean, he made a throw this past week to Dawson Knox that it's what we call a firm touch throw. And those are the throws that make a quarterback a passer, not a thrower. And he's gotten so much better at that. And those short throws now are precise. He puts the ball in positions where receivers can run after catch, because run after catch is a quarterback stat, not a receiver stat. And it's truly amazing. But talent level, you know, it's funny. And you know, you and I will start talking about college quarterbacks soon. But what we always hear is Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent. Well, I have no problem saying this. And if people think I'm wrong, fine. But Josh Allen's more talented than Trevor Lawrence. So I guess is Josh Allen a generational talent?
No, I mean, I love that you said that. But from an arm standpoint, there's not a lot out there that looks like Josh Allen. That's all
no.
I know. He's incredible. So in the last month, I'm getting a lot of heat because I've said, listen, when Pittsburgh was 11-0, I kept saying, I don't care what the record is. They don't look like an 11-0 offense to me. You can't win playoff games with that. And now I've said in the last month with Kansas City, something doesn't look right to me. They're just not clicking offensively. Mahomes' passer rating's down. They're still dangerous as heck, but they don't quite feel right offensively. What is it, or am I wrong?
Well, Mahomes did not play well this past week. And again, All I'm telling you is what the tape showed, Colin. You know that's what I do. I'm not making a bold judgment about what Patrick Mahomes is going to be, you know, 2 weeks from now. But in this past game, he was indecisive in the pocket. I don't think he saw things particularly well. He rushed himself. He missed some routine throws with poor ball location. I thought he moved and drifted when he didn't need to. And what he did when he did that is he created his own pressure. He was a little loose this week. Now, he has that tendency anyway and then makes special plays. But the special plays did not happen this week. Yeah. So, again, I'm just telling you what this week showed. But he did not play particularly well.
You know, I really believe Greg Cosell, 41 years NFL films. I believe, and it was one of the things I noticed very early about Michael Jordan, the game looked easy to him. It looks easy by Justin Herbert. It just comes comes easy. And I watch Aaron right now, and he is almost smiling as he plays. Have they simplified the offense? Have they made it more Aaron conducive? He's playing with an ease that I just don't remember him playing with.
Yeah, I guess the way I'd answer that is he's in his second year in an offense with Matt LaFleur that is structurally different than the offense he was in with Mike McCarthy. And I'd say it this way, Colin. With LaFleur's offense, it's very play design, scheme-based. That's sort of that offense. It's progression-based. I think with McCarthy, I think that it was more matchup-based. So I think now in his second year with LaFleur, he has a very good sense, because Rodgers is smart as a whip, he has a very good sense of the whole play design and scheme and progressions. And if you notice one thing, Colin, when you watch Rodgers, notice he doesn't run around as much as he's done the last 4 or 5 years.
No question.
He's playing very much within the structure and the timing and rhythm of an offense that's ultimately built that way. Because don't forget, Matt LaFleur's background, because he's a young coach, is Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. So it's very much schematic and progression-based, and I'm sure Rodgers is just feeling more and more comfortable within that context.
So sometimes there's things I can't explain, like Mitch Trubisky's recent success. Not a fan, but Dave Wannstedt told me at the start of the year, he said, if you have a good defense, you can win a bunch of games with Mitch. I'm not sure if you can win the game, but what has Chicago done in the last 3 to 4 weeks? They're dropping 30 points a game, Greg.
Yeah, but their offense, and again, Trubisky's no different than he was before they've done this. They've run the ball really effectively. They keep their pass game very basic, very simple. He's not a drop back passer. That's his limitation. So ultimately, if you can do play action boot, RPOs, stay ahead of schedule, you know, play pretty good defense, then he can do what Wannstedt said. He can be an effective quarterback, an efficient quarterback within that context. But there are some pretty significant limitations to his game. And if a certain game plays out in which they need to drop back and throw, you'll see those limitations come out.
So I like the Rams over the Seahawks. And then at the end of the first half and end of the game, Russell Wilson, just playing with incredible urgency and accuracy, did what Russell Wilson does. That's why it separates him from the Jared Goffs and the Kirk Cousins. He just makes plays in big, crucial spots. But it is interesting. I do believe when Seattle's running game is healthy, they're very viable. They were healthy Sunday, and they still clunked around a lot offensively. Yep. Give me your thoughts about, is their personnel a little overrated? Is their offensive line struggling? But what do you see with Seattle's offense?
I don't think Russell Wilson's playing very good football right now, Colin, to be honest with you. Can he make a splash play? Of course he can. But he's been indecisive. He's been impatient in the pocket. He's tentative, turning it loose. I think he leaves the pocket prematurely now. And again, he can make those kinds of plays. But even plays, he had a 24-yard completion to Lockett on the fourth quarter touchdown drive, in which he ran up in the pocket for no reason at all and was late with the throw. It's just Lockett was wide open on the crosser. But he is not playing real well right now, and he hasn't been for a number of weeks. And if you notice, they're not scoring that many points on a consistent basis. So I think they're probably trying to figure out what they want their offense to be. You know, they obviously let Russ cook for the first 6-7 weeks, and he was phenomenal. And then it sort of changed. And now, will they go back to running the ball as their foundation, or will they try to figure this out still putting the ball in Russell's hands, but he's going to have to play better, I think.
Yeah, I think you're figuring it out. That's what it looks like on my television set. They're trying to figure out exactly what they are right now, and it hasn't been fluid. So I've been on 2 days I've been on this that, listen, if you go to Dak and Andy Dalton's first 4 years in the league, it's the same quarterback. If you go to their last six or seven games under this staff, you know, it feels like the same quarterback. Is that I think Dak's in 2020 a better athlete. He can move the pocket more with him. But I've always thought Andy Dalton with protection is a very accurate distributor of the football. He doesn't have the biggest arm. He's not the greatest athlete. But I do think they have a chance to win Sunday. And if they do, yeah, they're 5-2 off a bye. And Dak couldn't beat Philadelphia at the end of last year. He would have beaten Philadelphia and the Giants this year. And Philadelphia is a lot healthier this year than last year. So I guess I'm in a weird position of defending a quarterback I don't love. But what does the film say to you?
Well, we know what Andy Dalton is. I mean, obviously, they've scored over 30 points in each of the last three games, and Dalton's been pretty efficient. And they've been efficient using him with what he is, play action, get him out of the pocket a little bit on design boot action. And by the way, I thought Ezekiel Elliott looked the best he has all season last week,
yeah,
against the Eagles. So Dalton, you know, Dalton's one of those guys that people like to talk about as not being very good. You know, it's the Kirk Cousins thing. You guys that people say, oh, you got to do better than that. These guys aren't very good, but they can line up and play and be very effective in this league. And Dalton, obviously the offensive line has not been great this year, but he has good receivers. If the run game works, he can be very efficient, and they scheme plays for him. And that's what you do with quarterbacks like that. You scheme plays.
So let's see your play of the week is with Andy Dalton.
Yeah, and it's a third down play. It's third and short. And third and short in this league, Colin, is a man-to-man down and distance for the defense. So let's take a look at the play. It's the 52-yard touchdown, yeah, to C.D. Lamb. And as I said, this is a third and short play, and what you got was man coverage by the Eagles. And it was a really well-designed play by the Cowboys. Because what you're going to see here is they're going to line up in a 3-by-1 set with a bunch up top. C.D. Lamb is the outside man in the bunch. Bunch is a good thing when you're anticipating man. Now, there's Nickell Robey-Coleman. He's over the point man, but when C.D. Lamb goes in motion here, because Robey-Coleman is actually the slot corner, he's going to run with him. Of course, that validates the man coverage. They knew where they were getting that anyway. So what you're going to get here is C.D. Lamb gets free access off the line. That's what you want. You don't want him jammed off the line. Now, Robey-Coleman jumps outside and takes away the outside. So what happens is Lamb does a great job of cutting inside, and it ends up being a wheel route, and he's just a really good receiver, obviously. But just that kind of design is what I'm talking about. You go third and three. You know what you're going to get. You call a play in which it's a defined read and throw for Andy Dalton, and he can make those.
Yeah, he has for the last 3 weeks. Greg Cosell, yep, NFL Films. Great talking to you. Happy holidays, Greg.
You too, Colin. Thanks a lot.
Good stuff. Ohio State Clemson, we're going to talk about that coming up with a Big Ten Network analyst. Outspoken guy. Can't wait for that. A former Buckeye. Plus, Carson Wentz. Could he write the Eagles a $20 million check and write himself out of Philadelphia? It's an interesting idea. It's not far-fetched. It would get him to the Colts, and I want to discuss it. I think it's a really smart idea.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Final Sunday of the regular season kicks off with the Cowboys in a must-win game against the Giants, and the Bears try to win their way into the playoffs against a Packers squad gunning for the top seed in the NFC. Or other regional action, check local listings for the games in your area. Only on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
I just talked to a very wise odds maker today, a very smart, sharp, a wise guy. Loves the Bears Sunday. Loves the Bears. This is somebody who makes a living betting tens of thousands of dollars on games. He loves the Bears. I know that's not my inclination, but Packers, you know, they've got the win over Tennessee. It validated them. Chicago's on fire, has struggled. They're trying to play their way in. Trubisky's hot.
I mean, I don't trust the Bears, but
I'm just telling you, it made me pause.
He likes some like
a lot.
Yeah?
A lot of money.
Well, who am I to question the wise guys?
That's right. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
By the way, you look good in snakeskin.
You know what? I told you, I'm trying to be festive for all the holidays in 2020, so...
It matches.
I was in Vegas last year for New Year's Eve, which I actually had completely forgotten about.
If I wore a shirt like that, I'd look like a character from Boogie Nights.
That's exactly what popped to my mind. Like, I don't know if that's the look you're trying to go for, Colin.
You would look...
You can pull snakeskin off. I mean, why not, though? You know? I would like to see... You know what would be fun? It would be like a fun webisode. Would be like Cam Newton shopping for you. And then like you have to wear whatever
that is
for
good.
You on the show. I would love to see that.
So would I.
Because I actually don't think he would go that outrageous. Like I think he would like kind of sense his style out.
Cam also is good looking. So he looks good in clothes. Like Cam is one of those people you could put him in anything. He would just look great.
That's true. So we've got there's a lot going on right now. We just found out 8 minutes ago, Tom Pelissero just tweeted, Ryan Fitzpatrick has tested positive for COVID-19.
It's out
for Sunday's game against the
snap. So Tua plays.
So it's all on Tua.
No bench in Tua.
I like it.
You do.
Sharks are born swimming. I say it all the time. I don't know if it makes sense and implies to this, but in my mind, you gotta figure it out. Sink or swim. It's time to go, Tua.
Oh, my.
Find out what you got.
He said there's no pressure. There's pressure now.
No pressure now. Kyler Murray suffered a lower leg injury at the end of the Cardinals' loss to the 49ers last week, and that put his availability for a very important game for the Cardinals against the Rams in jeopardy. But Kyler put any questions to rest yesterday. He told reporters he's feeling good, and he will play on Sunday.
That's good.
If the Cardinals beat the Rams, they're in. If they lose, they're out. So another... basically playoff game for the Cardinals and several of these this weekend. The Rams will be without Jared Goff. John Wolford will start. So congrats to everyone who was talking about benching Jared Goff earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Sunday's your day.
John Wolford. Pronounce the L. He said it's Wolford. And I'll say this. I don't know if they'll score. Nothing against John Wolford,
but that is also out on the COVID list. Running back Daryl Henderson is out with an ankle injury. And Cam Akers is making progress, but is uncertain for Sunday. So the Cardinals should win this game convincingly, and they have to if they want to get into the playoffs. So the Bucs will end their 13-year playoff drought this season. Expectations were obviously very high for Tom Brady this year, although, in all fairness, in a COVID-shortened season, a quarterback with a new team,
new
after 20
city,
years,
new playbook,
new system,
new teammates,
everything, should probably be given a little bit of grace, but when you're the GOAT, you don't get that.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians said that just making the playoffs is not enough.
The Super Bowl or bust. That's the goal every year. Mm-hmm. And you can't get to the Super Bowl if you don't get in the playoffs. You know, so getting into the playoffs was huge for us. And it's been a fun year. It's a lot of football left, and we're really excited to be playing.
I love the someone on the call. They really felt that line. Bruce said, It is a line. Can't get the Super Bowl if you don't get in the playoffs. It's true. And I understand why Bruce Arians has a lot of faith because he's gone to Super Bowl with a team that was a wild card team in the Steelers. So he's confident in that, as he should be. And he does have Tom Brady. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team.
I think they're really good against bad teams, and they struggle against good ones, and that's never a Super Bowl team. So I think they're a playoff team, and they're a playoff first-round winning playoff team.
Yes.
But they're not going to New Orleans. They're not going to Green Bay. They're not going to Seattle. They have shown no ability to go on the road and beat teams like that this year, so why would I think they can?
In a normal year, I would say this with 100% confidence that they weren't a Super Bowl team. Now, I don't think they're good enough to go to a Super Bowl and win it.
Right.
But this is a different year.
There
are a lot of different factors. We just talked about Fitzpatrick being out with COVID. Like, there's a lot of things that can happen in this next month headed to the Super Bowl. So they have enough, but can they put it all together in the playoffs? I don't know. With Tom Brady, I'll give him a little couple percentage points because he's done it that many times. Either way, they're going to be a fun team to watch in the playoffs. So, kind of a historic night in the NBA last night. LeBron James celebrated his 36th birthday, becoming the first player. He celebrated it by becoming the first player in NBA history to have 1,000 straight games with at least 10 points. He's held the record for the longest streak since 2018 when he passed MJ his mark of 866 games with at least 10 points, and he's just continuing to build on it. The last time he failed to have double-digit points in the regular season was January 5th of 2007.
I'm still
only had eight.
I'm still waiting for the decline You know, I guess it's very Brady-like. Like, Tom still throws a ball like he did 7 years ago. I don't feel he's quite... He doesn't move quite... You know what? With Tom, a lot of it's psychology. He just doesn't want to get hit. Like, he had 36, he was willing to get
hit. He's always hated getting hit. Yeah, now it's really, I don't want to be touched.
Yeah, Tom, you can tell, he didn't want to get hit. And there is the difference between LeBron and his age. When he broke into the league, he was such a fierce shot blocker and defender, and he no longer is. He was very good against Miami situationally. Like Brady. Brady will take a hit if it's fourth quarter of a playoff game. He'll take a hit.
Well, one thing about Brady and LeBron is they're going to continue to evolve. So as their bodies change, they're going to change how they work out, how they train, how they train in the offseason, what they eat, what they do while they're working out, and how they play the game. Like, they're both such scholars and have such brilliance for their individual sports. They're going to continue to adjust. So I don't think LeBron's game looks anything like his early years, but he doesn't look like he's taken a step back at all. And a lot of that has to do with he treats his body like it's his job.
Offensively, I think his game has never been more nuanced, smart, and dynamic.
He's always been a brilliant passer.
And a ball handler, and he's got a real sense of space and... But I do think defensively, he can give it to you in little micro bursts. But he's not going to give you 40 minutes of...
Yeah, but that's really all you need. Yeah. Also, want to give a shout-out to Becky Hammon becoming the first woman to act as an NBA head coach last night in the game for the Spurs with Popovich's ejection.
Oh, so I was going to say, I read the story. I read the headline, not the story. So he was ejected.
Yes. Well, the last time this happened, Tim Duncan stepped in. So
he retired or got out of coaching, I think, didn't he?
Tim Duncan?
Is he still there?
I think he's still there.
Oh, okay.
But yes, so Becky Hammon stepped in for Pop last night, so congrats to her.
Way to go, Becky. And we should get her on the show.
Yeah.
Enjoy the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
So
news.
Joy touched on that. I think it's significant. So Tua said earlier, there's no pressure. I don't feel any pressure. You can pretend like in life there's no pressure. It feels like pressure. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is out, and that means it's on Tua. And I've said this, and Joy said this. They have the number 3 pick in the draft now, Miami. They're never going to have that again. They have a great defense, a great coach, and tremendous special teams. The quarterback is the thing missing. Their defense is better than Buffalo. Their special teams have been better than Buffalo. Their head coach is at least as good as Buffalo's. The difference is they got Josh Allen and one's got Tua. And we judge quarterbacks almost solely on how they perform under pressure. That's why Kirk Cousins' numbers are unbelievable. But Stephon Diggs said, get me out of here. Because he didn't feel in prime time Kirk Cousins could deliver. And in fairness, he hasn't. That was the Andy Dalton knock for years. The numbers were fine. I mean, a Pro Bowl, it's what's he like in the prime? So this is a primetime game for Tua. This is the biggest game of his career. And if he shrinks, I think it's something. It doesn't matter what I think. But you do lose guys in the locker room. And now you're going to have to stick with Tua. And Joy's been saying, let's just let him play his way through it. So here you go. Now, Buffalo's not a great defensive team, but they're very situationally smart and well-coached. They may sit some starters. But you can tell yourself there's no pressure. This team's got a Super Bowl-level special teams and defense. And they've got a playoff-winning head coach. That stuff you can't argue. It's quarterback. That's the missing piece here. So I am fascinated to watch it. I wish Buffalo would play all their starters. There's a lot of Mahomes is not playing. There's some belief that you won't see a ton of Josh Allen. Although again, I'm kind of a player dude. I think it's a rhythm thing. I want my guys. You know, Aaron Rodgers always talks about this. A lot of being quarterback is all right. You get the playbook. You get the week's schemes. You want to get the players in the right spot for the play, and you want to get into a rhythm early. You know, that was always a Peyton Manning thing. You start slow, you are slow. Get into a rhythm. I would like Mahomes and Josh Allen to stay in that rhythm. Even if you don't have a bye, just keep playing. Brady always played week 17, stay in the bye. So I hope Buffalo plays everybody, because I think when you're young and talented, old teams I get, time off. Young, talented, let them play. Just let them play. James Laurinaitis, who was a great linebacker at Ohio State, he was a great player. He's a Buckeye through and through, Big Ten Network analyst. He'll be joining us. I like Ohio State. I just bet on this morning. I think they're going to keep it really close with Clemson. I think it's a field goal game. I think it's low scoring. I think Ohio State's defensive line is going to push back heavily on Clemson's offensive line, and I think Trevor Lawrence is not going to have a ton of time to throw, and I don't think Ohio State's going to let Clemson run wild. I think it's very low scoring, 26-23, very competitive, a little bit of an ugly game. Trevor Lawrence doesn't have a lot of time to throw, so we're going to bring him on next. The supplement I take every day is M-Drive, powerful ingredients backed by science, free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Check it out. MDriveForMen.com.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He was a two-time Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, only player to ever win multiple Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year awards in the history of the conference. He's the only dude. James Laurinaitis, Big Ten Network analyst, played in the NFL for 8 years. Really an all-time, not only Buckeye, all-time great Big Ten football player. He is now joining us live. So I think Ohio State keeps it close, James. I think their defensive line is going to mostly overwhelm Clemson's fairly average pedestrian O-line. That's what I see. And whatever you see, people are going to say, well, he's a Buckeye. But when you look at film, when I watch Clemson, I don't think this is one of the more talented teams, although I think Trevor's just off the chain. But what does the film say about that O-line, D-line, Buckeye-Clemson matchup?
Yeah, Colin, I think what's hard for me is the fact that both of these teams, I don't think, are as good as the matchup a year ago. I think both teams were better a year ago. What concerns me for Ohio State is that that defensive line all year, they've been kind of doing it by committee. And Larry Johnson's a phenomenal defensive line coach. He's been great all year for them. But I just think when you look at that D-line, they don't have Chase Young. How does this defense stop Clemson? I know their O-line isn't what it was at Clemson, but you're losing guys like Damon Arnett, who's starting in the NFL, Jeffrey Okuda, who's starting in the NFL, Chase Young, who's making a great impact in the NFL. All three of those guys aren't on this defense for Ohio State. That's what concerns me from the Ohio State perspective.
You know, it's interesting. Last time they played, Ohio State played great early, had a call not go their way. It sort of unraveled. But if you go back to that game when it was over, I didn't hear every comment from, you know, the Ohio State side. But there was a lot of people I knew that were Buckeyes that said, we're a better team than they are. We absolutely believe they are. Do you believe in Buckeye land today, the feeling is similar that personnel-wise, we're a better team? Or do we know who Ohio State is?
Yeah, I don't think we do know. I think there's a lot of anxiety about this. This kind of feels almost like back when I was playing – and we were 2006, we get beat by Florida. Then in 07, you play LSU and you lose again. And then it's this whole thing, Ohio State can't beat the SEC. There's this feeling of, gosh, Clemson again. And if you don't win this year, there's kind of that feeling of, yeah, we've had great seasons, we've had great teams, but Clemson, we can't beat Clemson. And there is this giant monkey on their back about this team. So the team needs to be careful. You can almost over-focus, get paralysis by analysis. You can kind of overdo it. Only playing six games, Colin, I don't know how to really judge this team. If it was the last six games of the season and they were able to ramp up and kind of build toward this moment, maybe you feel a little better about it. But the stopping and starting, there's no rhythm, and they're behind on a lot of game situations and on a lot of reps.
Yeah. You know, I think Notre Dame's going to be a little outclassed by Alabama, but I do think there is a potential that Alabama is looking ahead to Clemson or an Ohio State. I think Clemson may be looking ahead to Alabama. That's why I think Ohio State uglies it up and keeps it close. What would Notre Dame have to do? They're a three-touchdown underdog. What would they have to do, James, to you? You could tell early in the game, oh, this is working for Notre Dame.
Well, they're going to have to take the football away. You got to find ways to get more possessions for your offense. That defense has to play a certain way. And then I think Ian Book has to be able to scramble and use his legs. Whenever you look at Nick Saban's defenses over the years, they have struggled with mobile quarterbacks, yep, quarterbacks that can beat you with their legs and kind of make stuff happen. That's how Ian Book, the first game against Clemson, was able to attack them and beat them. The second game, Clemson kept him bottled in the pocket. He was not nearly as effective. The one thing about Alabama, though, and you know this from covering them, they do not overlook anybody.
Yeah.
Alabama is – that's been the most impressive team. All these other schools, these big-time schools around the country, they overlook teams. They get upset. Alabama just acts accordingly. They go out there, they handle business. And I actually think, at least maybe it's my part of the country being here in Ohio, that there's not enough respect for what the Crimson Tide have done this season and how impressive they've been.
You know, it's interesting. Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence looks like he's next level. I saw him in high school live in San Diego at a camp, and he just looks different. He's just bigger, the whip. It's kind of natural and very fluid. Justin Fields is interesting. I've seen him play three or four, and a couple of them he has struggled with accuracy. He looks a little lost. Again, I try to think it's COVID. You're not practicing as much. I don't know what to take from it. When you watch him, what do you like? What concerns you about him?
Well, you're right. He started the season on fire. His completion percentage was through the roof. He was really playing impressive. And then it was the stop and starting again. And I think he fought so hard, Colin. If you remember, he's on Good Morning America trying to, you know, fight for the Big Ten season to come back. He's doing all these interviews. He wanted a chance to come out and play, specifically to get a rematch against Clemson, a chance to get that last throwback where the miscommunication with him and Chris Olave happened in that game. But this year, whenever they've stopped and they've come back, the game against Indiana, he made some really uncharacteristic mistakes, forcing the ball when he's going down, just throwing it up in the air. He did the same thing against Northwestern. I just think whenever he came back from a pause, it was a, hold on, let me reintroduce myself to America and kind of force the issue. He's got to be very careful not to do that against Clemson tomorrow night, because all eyes will be on those two. They're both from Georgia, not too far away from one another. They're forever going to be linked. They've been linked through college. They'll be linked through the NFL. I think he had a really good start to the season, but he started to press as things kind of canceled and got out of rhythm.
I believe, and I've been told, we will go to an 8-team playoff, largely ignited, James, because of COVID and the budget shortfalls for even the schools like Texas and Ohio State. You can't just keep writing $10 million checks to do all this testing, and COVID's a part of our life here for at least the next 6 months and foreseeable future. I said this morning there's 8 programs, I think. We think more teams will be more fairness. I think there's going to be 8 teams that are going to dominate it. And I put the 8 teams up in the order in which I think they will dominate it. Clemson doesn't lose assistance, and they have a weak conference. Bama's great, but does lose assistance. Ohio State's just a notch below. Oklahoma dominates their conference like the ACC. I just don't see a lot of roadblocks unless Texas gets their act together. Georgia's a recruiting power. So is Notre Dame, and I love Brian Kelly. Oregon dominates Denver West recruiting. They're really cleaning up in California. And I put Florida in there because they don't have to. Texas A&M would have to play Alabama. Florida just has to beat Georgia. So those are my 8. But it's interesting. Part of the 8 is I think those coaches, none are leaving. Most have long-term contracts. Ryan Day is interesting. I've heard NFL stuff with Ryan Day. And you can't keep hitting home runs. Tressel, Urban, Ryan Day. At some point, you hire the wrong guy. Do you believe Ryan Day is the Buckeye coach 3, 4, 5 years from now?
I think three or four years he is. You start going out to 5, and you have to wonder, what kind of lifestyle do you want to live? The difference in lifestyle between college and pro coach, at least in the NFL, you have some kind of break. In college, you are always recruiting.
Yeah.
That never ends. And you know, even with the early signing period now being mid-season, I mean, these guys were having their signing day during the Big Ten Championship week, trying to do game planning. You're also trying to make sure every single recruit feels good on that day and makes it special for them. So it's tough. Do you want to keep living that lifestyle? Ryan Day is a really smart offensive play caller. I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunities for him. But
yeah.
I like your list. I agree with your list. What baffles me is that when I was playing just back in 05 to 08, Colin, we had Texas. You would have never thought Texas would fall off with their resources. And I think they were obviously hoping and wanted Urban. And when Urban said no, he would have been a guy that for sure could have turned that thing around.
Yeah.
And then USC was dominant with Pete Carroll. So having those two teams not in the top 8, I think, just explains how far those programs have fallen.
Yeah, may not have the right coaches. Good stuff. James, nice having you on the show for the first time. Admired your career. I love what you do, and you did a great job. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime.
You bet. James Laurinaitis, one of the all-time great Buckeyes and only 2-time defensive player of the year in the Big Ten. You know, we've talked about this lifestyle. So because of my childhood and background, I do like control. And in college football, I've thought about this more times than I can count. If I was a football coach, would I want to be NFL or college? And I know my history, and I've gone to enough therapy that I do like some control and semblance. I don't like chaos in my life, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to bore you. I've bored enough therapists. So I think the college I could control, whereas the NFL, you get a crazy owner, you get a GM. But the thing I do like, and tell me what you're like, is I do like breaks. Like I, in the summer, I had good summers as a kid. I grew up on a beach. I like taking 2 weeks off or a week off with my kids and just, I don't even watch my show. I don't read the sports page. You cannot do that in college. You're constantly sucking up the recruits. So I think I would be an NFL guy. Eventually I'd be more challenged. It's like the difference, Joy, between doing local and national.
Yeah.
This is more competitive, but you do get more breaks. You don't have to do sales calls constantly like Miami radio.
Yeah, no, it's a very different lifestyle. College is all year round. You get no breaks whatsoever.
It's going to homes yes. all year round. It's literally
because
getting on the phone.
Because recruiting is 24/7, really.
And telling 18-year-olds, I love you more than Nick Saban does.
It's not even just recruiting. You're also responsible for young men, like young humans that have just left their family's home. Like, it's a big responsibility. In the NFL, these are adults. These are grown men. They've got their own kids and mortgages. Like, you're still, you know, still have to sleep with your ringer on, but, like, it's not the same level of responsibility.
Also, in college, you got to suck up to boosters.
Yeah, you have one person you have to constantly answer to, and the owner. Yeah.
You got four or five boosters.
Because the GM is kind of on the same, on the same level as you.
Yeah, I mean, most GMs and coaches, they'll go have a beer together and break down the draft.
It's a lot of schmoozing.
In college, it's very schmoozy. It's very.
I'm with you. I like to shut it down every once in a while. Work hard and then play hard.
Yeah, boom. Exactly. Hour three next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.